Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
You don't indeed. It is 6:51. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Our listener poll this morning: do you know your blood type and do you think it's important to do so? Send us your voice notes on 061-895-1019 and we will play them back to you just before 8:30. Joining us on the line this morning in order to talk a little bit more about blood donation is Dr. Karen van der Berg, Medical Director at the South African National Blood Service. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well, thank you. Yourself?
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for joining us so bright and early. I was fascinated to find out about the impact of COVID on the blood services. First of all, what has been the impact before we even talk about donating once you've had the virus?
So I think, as for many other organizations in South Africa, the COVID has had a devastating impact on the South African National Blood Service and our sister service, I must add, in the Western Cape. So the very first impact was the fact that we were not able to go to our donors the way that we normally would. So generally, our operating model is that we have about 35-40% of our donors that come to our fixed sites to donate, mm-hmm. and those are scattered, you know, all over the country. But the majority of our collections come from what we refer to as mobile donation clinics.
Right, right. Yes. Where you'll set up schools and places.
We go to people. Mm. And a lot of schools, a lot of corporates. Mm. And all of those just disappeared overnight. During the first lockdown, it just went away. And we were really struggling to collect enough blood to make sure that we had enough safe blood for the patient.
So how have you managed since then? I mean, did you have to completely change how you were reaching people?
Yes. So our collection team, it's true for the whole of Sanders, but our collection team in particular have been absolutely wonderful. They had to really pivot, very agile. We completely changed how we managed our collections. So one of the things that we obviously did was we reassessed where people were going to during the COVID period. Mm. So, during the lockdown, for example, we had to devise a way to be able to give people a voucher to come and donate. So we would have to SMS them, people had to make.
Amazing.
So we very rapidly, I think over a period of a week, we implemented a
system. That's incredible.
Where people were able to book to come and donate. We would give them a specific slot. We would send them a voucher so that they could show it to the police if they were stopped. And we very quickly set up arrangements with various malls and put up marquee tents in their parking lots. So, yes, our teams have been great, but it has been really hard.
But I find what I find so fascinating is we spend so much time, or maybe I do, speaking to businesses and using the words that you've used, agile, pivoting, etc. Speaking to businesses and saying, well, how have you managed during that time? But we don't think of, or maybe I didn't think of an organization such as yours that needed to stop and say, right, guys, things have changed. Our patterns are completely thrown out. How are we now going to achieve what we need to achieve? And I find it so commendable and so interesting that that you've managed to do so and that you were able to do so. Because many times this type of organization is much slower to change.
Yes, we are. Mm. You know, so, we are, and we often refer to ourselves as the SOP-driven organization,
right.
Which is important. You know, if you are going to be receiving blood from us, you would want to know that we are a slow, meticulous, well-organized, pedantic.
Right, exactly. It's both.
You want it to be safe.
Right, right.
So, and I think that's what made this a particular, really, absolutely wonderful experience, is to have these people that are very sensitive in ways, very quality driven, to challenge them. and to say, listen, guys, so yes, we have always been like this, but now we need
right.
to do something else.
Yes, yeah. exactly. Right, because you can't be mavericks, you know, you can't, or you, because you can't lose your reputation of being a solid organization, reliable, dependable. But at the same time, if you don't adapt to a new demand, you're going to be without blood, quite simply.
And that is absolutely the truth. And so it was this fine line between maintaining our standards and you know, the added complication was that we had to implement all of these additional COVID requirements.
Of course, yes.
So, you know, as much as we want to go and collect it as blood, we absolutely have to make sure that we protect our staff.
Yeah, thinking about that. Your staff are at risk every time.
Every time. Mm. And protecting the donors who come and donate. The last thing we would want is for somebody to come and donate and then be exposed to COVID there. Mm. So on top of all of those other things that we have to do, we also very quickly implemented very strict COVID regulations. The procurement of the PPE that we needed in those first few nights, the first few weeks, during the absolute cheapest nights.
I'm sure.
Arranging for truckloads of visors and masks to be, it was possible.
And you have no idea at that point what the demand on blood services would be. You know, we anticipated, you know, the hospitals, the whole point of the lockdown was to allow medical facilities to get themselves geared up in order to cope with what was coming their way with this tsunami of patients. And at that stage, I would imagine there wasn't enough information to even know what the demand on your particular organization would be.
There wasn't. We expected, so we have really good data, and the one thing that I think that people don't know about us is that in general, we have really good quality data on many aspects of our business. And so we had a fair understanding of where our blood goes to.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it goes to trauma and theater patients, but a lot of it goes to patients with chronic conditions.
Right.
And so because of so we kind of expected that the demand would go down.
Right.
But we didn't know what impact, for example, the cancellation of elective surgery would have.
Right,
on
exactly. Right.
And so in that first period, we were able to maintain the supply because the demand also went down.
Right. That was an unintended consequence. Can somebody who's had COVID-19 donate blood?
Yes, they can, please. So there's two options for people who have had COVID. The first is that if you've just been mildly ill, you know, you need to wait 14 days before you come back and donate. Or if you've been asymptomatic and just happened to get a positive COVID test for perhaps because you've had exposure.
Right.
So there's a deferral period of 14 days.
Okay.
And then obviously if you've been more ill, you just need to really wait until you've properly recovered.
So, but to some extent, it's like any other illness that you've had. If you've had a seasonal flu, you'll wait until you're better, and then you can donate.
It is, you know, it's both the sad part and the reality of COVID is that it is a type of a flu. It is just absolutely devastating.
Right, right.
And so the rules of engagement on our side really is just quite the same.
Mm.
You wait until you've a minimum of 14 days. The same as you've had an exposure, we would ask that you don't come to us for 14 days.
Sure, of course.
And then you can come and donate. And so the other part of it is that we're also looking for people who've recovered from, who, especially those who have been infected since this year, you know, with probably the new variant.
The new variant,
We're very keen on the plasma of those patients.
Right.
And so you can also come and donate plasma our sites.
We unfortunately do need to leave it there, but how do people get hold of you?
So I unfortunately don't know. This is so embarrassing. I don't know and I'm not in front of my computer.
Oh, don't worry. We will get that information. I'm going to ask my producer. I'll get that information from her.
But
and then
our website is www. SANBS.org.za.
Right, that's the first one.
All of our information. Absolutely. But I don't unfortunately know the toll free.
No, don't worry, Then we can just go to the website and find it there. That's Dr. Karen Funderburg, Medical Director at the South African National Blood Service. Thank you for the conversation. I found it absolutely fascinating and inspiring.